What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fesco and Dusty in the morning here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber alongside Nathan Williams. The guys off today with the Labor Day holiday taking place. Cody and Gold are both off today as well, along with Carrington. So we have a completely different lineup for you today. Nathan and I this morning. Mac and Drew are going to be hosting the midday show today for Cody and Gold. JT Noah is going to be producing. And then Chris Unocero and Bink are going to be hosting the drive for Carrington with Jackson Ogden producing this afternoon's program. We talked Kansas City Chiefs in hour number one. We'll be sure to get back to that coming up later on in the show. But let's break down what we saw from the Kansas City Royals over the weekend. Of course, yesterday, most notably, a 5-0 loss for Kansas City. I think the expectation should have been pretty low considering the fact that it was Tariq Skubal on the bump for the Tigers. I mean, a guy who came into the game 11-4 with a sub 2-3 ERA. He's the best pitcher in baseball, in my view. Yeah, I know Paul Skenes he gets a lot of attention for what he does, and rightfully so. But I think the most consistent day in, day out, you know, every fifth day starter in baseball is, in my view, Tariq Skubal. He goes 7 innings yesterday afternoon, striking out only 4, but he only gave up 4 hits, walked 2, as he picked up his 12th win of the year. Royals generated just 4 hits the entire game. 2 off the bat of Maikel Garcia, as he continues to have an outstanding year. Vinny notched a hit as well. And Michael Massey with the only other knock for the Kansas City Royals. Maikel Garcia with the only extra base hit. That was a double, his 34th of the year. Royals were 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position last night, which has been the tail of the tape, I think, for the Royals this season as a whole. You know, I don't mean to be incredibly harsh, because the Royals have played good baseball since the All-Star break, and I understand that it was Tariq Skubal on the bump last night, but I looked at the Royals lineup yesterday. I don't think it would have mattered who the starting pitcher was. The Royals lineup yesterday didn't scream a team that's trying to win to me, and maybe that's too critical, but when I look at a lineup, and I understand guys need rest, guys need days off, but when I look at a lineup that features Nick Lofton in left field, Maley catching, Massey at second, and Tyler Tolbert in center field.
Yeah, he was.
6 through 9? Okay. Like, if you want to give a guy an off day, you want to give guys an off day, can we maybe spread it out a little bit? Like, when I looked at that lineup, 6 through 9, it's like, okay, so Massey for India. And now, Michael Massey's actually been pretty good since he came back. I think he hit like 315 in September. Yeah, it was only like 17 at-bats, but he did okay in his limited ABs in the month of August. So, Massey for India. Isbell needs a day off. Fine. Tolbert goes to center field because he's maybe the only reliable center fielder they have outside of Isbell on this roster right now. If you even want to say
reliable is the word you want to go with there, Logan?
And probably not. Kind of harkens back to why in the hell is Drew Waters still sitting in AAA, but I digress. You've got Lofton in left field instead of Frazier. Maley behind the dish. Okay, Salvi needs a day off. You let Salvi DH. Understood. Did you need to do all four on the same day? I feel like that put a lot of pressure. And you had Grichuk hitting fifth, who has been, he's really bad. Of all the guys that the Royals acquired at the deadline, he's been the most of the group, right? Berger has been awesome. Adam Frazier has looked nothing like the guy that was in a Royals uniform last year. But with that being your 5 through 9, Grichuk, Lofton, Maley, Massey, Tolbert, a lot of pressure on Michael, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi to do something. And when they can't do anything, you were going to lose. I don't know. For a team that was, you split the first two games, you know, where you didn't hit well on Saturday. Bobby had to have, you know, Bobby and Michael had to do their jobs. Bobby with that huge, you know, go-ahead home run in the eighth inning. That was the difference in the game. You had an opportunity to get a series win against a really good Detroit Tigers team. And the momentum that goes with that, while you're in the midst of a wild card race with a Mariners team that has really been struggling as of late, you could have kept pace, but you threw out a lineup yesterday that just didn't scream, "We're trying to win." And you didn't. You lose 5-0. Mwaka gave up 4 earned runs across 4 2/3 of an inning. The bullpen did its job again. You know, Sam Long gave up a run, but it was unearned in the game. I didn't like seeing that yesterday. And what does that allow to happen? Well, it allows the Mariners to get a win yesterday and push their lead over the Royals in the AL wild card to now back to 3 games. On top of that, the Texas Rangers have suddenly become the hottest team in baseball. They've now won 5 in a row, and winners of 8 of their last 10 games. They are now in 4th in the AL wildcard race. They have leapfrogged the Royals, and they're a half game up on Kansas City, only 2.5 games back of the Seattle Mariners. Now, I get it. Right. I get it if I'm Matt Quatrero, right? It's Tarik Skubal. He's going to win the American League Cy Young again. I understand. And when you're looking at coming up on the first day of September, this late season push you're trying to get, okay, a guy needs rest here or there. It makes sense to put a rest day against a guy like Tarik Skubal because he's already so hard to hit and so hard to beat as it is. I just can't, I can't get behind putting those 5 guys in the lineup on the same day hitting 5 through 9 when you have an opportunity to get a series win and close out the month of August heading into September with a ton of momentum, knowing that you have just beaten not only the best team in your division, but the best team record-wise in the American League and the best team, second-best team record-wise in all of Major League Baseball. And now, it's September 1st. It's roster expansions. You're now at 28 instead of 26. So, if you wanted to give guys rest, wouldn't it have made sense to do it now? Now that it's early September and you have more options at your disposal?
Yeah, I've got a couple of hard truths for you, and I think we're aligned on most of them except for this first one here, and that is, if guys were fully rested, I think a similar lineup is trotting out there yesterday based on the platoon, the splits that Quintero likes to use. I think the only guy we're questioning being in the lineup that was not a righty would have been a Massey for India switch at second base. The rest of those guys were sat just because of the splits. It's why Isbell wasn't in there. It's why Yastrzemski wasn't in there. It's why Frazier wasn't in there. Guys that have given you quality professional at-bats in order to lengthen the lineup. Another hard truth is it's too late in the season to say, oh, poor Michael Wacha, he was really good yesterday and he should have only given up one run. Well, guess what? Tyler Tolbert was in center field and a couple of egregious misplays, especially the one with Lofton. That was just, it was little league, not knowing who has priority in the outfield, not giving deference to a guy who's calling the ball off and then looking at a guy, assuming he's then going to catch the ball. I understand that the first one that Rogers hit to center might have been a tough play, but that's a play that Isbell makes 10 times out of 10 in his sleep, and it should have been a 1-0 game going into the late innings. But here's another hard truth, is that the top of that lineup, which was fully active, had a guy on second base with nobody out in the third inning. Bobby Witt flied out, Vinny struck out, Salvi hit a weak ground out. So, I mean, that's one opportunity. It's a small sample size, but like there was that opportunity as well. And the final hard truth for you here, Logan, I know we're going to get into the call-ups here shortly, but there's 8 series left. I mean, we've talked a lot about how 86 wins is the benchmark for that third wild card spot. The Mariners are sitting at 73. For them to get to 86 is a simple 13-13 split the rest of the way. I don't think it's fair to ask them to do worse than that. And for you, that means you got to win 16 to put yourself in that conversation. You got 8 series left. You've got to win every single series, save the one in Cleveland, which is a 4-game series. You can split that one. You cannot drop any more series. That includes a series in Philadelphia. It includes a series against Toronto. But with games like yesterday, whether it's you're just facing Tarik Skubal, whether it's guys needed a day off, whether it's Q played the splits, whether it's the outfield wasn't very good defensively, you've used up all of your wiggle room, and it's time to go.
Yeah, and you look at the schedules in September. Outside of that series against Philadelphia, the Royals have a very friendly schedule, I would say. I mean,
I agree.
Philly and Cleveland, right? Cleveland's been playing better baseball. You look at the standings, I don't feel like people are really talking much about them at the moment, but they're right behind the Royals in that AL wildcard race, right? They're above 500 at the moment, 68-67. And you know, despite the fact that they have lost six of their last 10 games, my goodness. But, you know, 3 against Los Angeles at home and then 3 on the road against the Angels later on in the month. You go to the A's to close out the year. You've got the 3-game series against Seattle at Kauffman in the middle of the month, which is big to have them at home. And then 3 games against Minnesota. So, yes, the schedule is friendly for the Royals. Schedule's probably more friendly for the Mariners. 3 on the road against Tampa, who got off to a really good start at the beginning of the year, but they've kind of faltered. At Atlanta, dealing with injury problems galore, as they have been for several years now. 3 at home against St. Louis, a team that got off to a really good start, but has kind of returned to the mean. 4 at home against the Angels. That 3-game set on the road against Kansas City. 3 on the road against Houston, which is going to be a massive series for both teams, because that late in the year, September 19th through 21st, not only is that a playoff implication series, that is a division implication series. Right now, the Astros are only up 2 games on the Mariners in the AL West. And then the Mariners will close out the year 3 games at home against the Rockies, and then three games at home against the Dodgers. So yeah, that Dodgers series is tough, and that three games on the road against the Royals is tough. Three on the road against Houston inside the division is tough, but four against Los Angeles, three against St. Louis, three each against Tampa and Atlanta, plus you got three against Colorado. So both of these teams have very friendly schedules coming up in September. And the last thing I'll mention before we go to the break here, you mentioned the splits. And I know that's how Q likes to operate. I understand. But I'm looking at the splits here. Mention, you know, they put Tolbert in center field because Isbell doesn't hit lefties very well, which is true. Isbell's hitting .218 against left-handed bats this year. Tyler Tolbert's hitting .190. Yes, he has a third of the at-bats that Isbell does, but that's still 30 points of difference. If you're looking for a splits thing, Tolbert for Isbell doesn't make a lot of sense against a lefty. You know, Maley, he was in catching. I don't know if that was as much a splits thing as it was just giving Salvi a day off behind the dish. Okay, if that's the case, it makes sense. If it's a splits thing, it doesn't, because Maley's hitting .182 against left-handed bats. Michael Massey, who you mentioned, you know, in for Jonathan India, excuse me. Massey's hitting .209 against lefties. India is hitting .240 against lefties. And then in left field, which has sort of become this kind of by committee kind of a thing, you had Lofton in left last night, who's hitting .192 against left-handed pitching. Meanwhile, you've got Adam Frazier, who has played quite a bit of left field, who's hitting .286 against lefties. Didn't see him in the lineup yesterday.
Yeah. I hope I didn't.
And then Yaz, not having Yaz in the lineup yesterday makes a ton of sense because he is hitting .100 against lefties. Yeah, he's awful against lefties. Made sense to not have him in the lineup last night, but I don't understand Tolbert for Isbell, and I really don't understand Massey for India and leaving Frazier out of the lineup yesterday, who is your third best bat against lefties.
Yeah, I'm not defending the way that lineup looked by any stretch of the imagination. I hope I didn't come across that way.
No.
I guess what I want to convey is this is the way the manager likes to live and die. It's going to happen again. We're used to it, and we better stay used to it. And then in addition, man, the top of the lineup, your all-stars, your Hall of Famer, didn't get the job done, and your defense did what your defense did. I mean, yesterday was just a loser all around.
Yeah, it was a bad day.
Not just in the lineup construction aspect.
It was a bad day. Hopefully the guys can just flush it and move forward. They've got a series starting tomorrow at Kauffman against the Los Angeles Angels, and we will discuss that series coming up next, along with it being September 1st, it's expansion day in Major League Baseball. MLB teams going from a 26-man roster to a 28-man roster. And two guys getting the call up today that are going to get Royals fans excited. We'll talk about that next here on Fesco and Dusty. Logan Weber, Nathan Williams filling in for the guys here on this Labor Day morning. 96.5, The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
(913-586-7965) is our number. Here on 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty in the morning. No Bob, no Dusty. Guys are off today, of course, with the Labor Day holiday. So Logan Weber in here with you alongside my producer for this morning's program in the form of Nathan Williams. We've got a different lineup today. So Mac and Drew are going to be hosting Cody and Gold today. And we've got Chris Unocero and Bink who will be hosting the drive for Carrington. We're talking some Royals baseball right now. We kind of let out our grievances about yesterday's game, the 5-0 loss to the Tigers, the lineup, and all those different things. Now we look ahead, right? We're into the month of September. It's put up or shut up time in Major League Baseball. What does it look like for the Kansas City Royals? Well, starting tomorrow, it's the Los Angeles Angels coming to town. As according to ESPN right now, and this is an interesting one, Michael Lorenzen is the probable starter for Kansas City. The Angels currently do not have one, at least on ESPN's page, which honestly is a very, very ESPN or very Los Angeles Angels kind of a thing. Cole Reagans, the latest update I have here was that he threw a live BP on August 30th. What happens next is a very intriguing question, right? The Royals still seem to believe that they could get him back at some point. What that looks like, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, the Royals seem to have a bit of a starting pitching surplus right now, which if you would have told a Royals fan that 2 years ago, they'd have thought you were insane. But you're looking at it now with the acquisition of Ryan Burgert, who's been really, really good since coming to Kansas City and even prior to his time in Kansas City. Along with Noah Cameron, who you know, the Royals have been very, very cautious with his workload. Seth Lugo, who has sort of faltered. I hate the fact that it's been, you know, this coincidental. But boy, his numbers have dipped since he signed that extension. I mean, after having a 1.26 ERA in the month of June, he had a 3.9 ERA in July, and his ERA in the month of August was a 9. 9. In 6 starts, he gave up 27 earned runs in 26 and two-thirds innings. So if Reagans comes back, where do the Royals go then?
Yeah, it seems to me like as the Royals go, so does the Cole Reagans rehab. Like the thought there has been, like you mentioned, there's sort of a surplus, and this is no insider info. This is completely hypothetical. Is that if this team were to fall out of the race, Cole Reagans would have been shut down. If this team can make a definitive statement and pick up a few games, well, then they'll ramp Cole Reagans up and try to get him back in, whether it's a bullpen piece or an opener type piece. Maybe you put him together with a Michael Lorenzen or a Ryan Burgert for a little, 3-3 to get you through the first 6 innings. It seems like the front office is waiting on this team to take a stance on what they're going to do down the stretch to see if they're going to sort of rush Cole Reagans back or not. Unfortunately, they've just continued to tread water at this 3 games back spot, you know, this entire road trip. So, there's no real return date for Cole Reagans. But I got to think if he were to come back, to answer your original question, it's either out of the bullpen or in an opener type role. There's no way if he hasn't even, you know, had a rehab start yet or anything. He's been shut down for quite a while. There's no way you're going to get any real length out of him to an extent to where I think you demote a starting pitcher.
Yeah, so the latest that I've heard, and this from MLB.com, J.J. Piccolo said in the lead up to the bullpen session that he had on Saturday, said, quote, "I think he's going to try to throw a live BP this weekend. If all goes well, you get him out on a rehab assignment." I haven't heard any news about how that bullpen session has gone. Don't know if that is a good thing or a bad thing. Not having heard any news, my assumption would be if it went well, we may get news on a possible rehab assignment today. I mean, that's not something you want to wait on. If you're trying to get him back and help this team win down the stretch, you want that to happen as soon as possible, which means you want to get him started on a rehab assignment as soon as possible.
Yeah, I wonder if the news comes maybe tomorrow. I know the Royals, well, they're going to announce their September call-ups today. Usually it would happen not on an off day, but I guess since today is September 1. And they've announced the 3 call-ups, and we're waiting on 1 demotion as well. Mm-hmm. In addition, we'll get into that here in a little while. Probably around the same time we get that news. If it is that Cole Reagans is going to have a rehab start, and then Logan, I mean, I don't... 1 rehab start, 2 rehab starts. If he has 2 rehab starts with the first one coming this upcoming weekend, that puts him back for the Seattle series with 2 weeks left. Like I just don't think there's a whole lot of juice in the tank, even if he's going out on a rehab stint, you know, now.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just sort of looking at the schedule and seeing how it all goes together. And you're looking at the Royals schedule. I'm sitting here looking at, okay, if it's a rehab assignment that we're looking towards for Cole Reagans, it's going to have to happen relatively quickly for a multitude of reasons. Number one, because the Royals are trying to get him back as soon as they possibly can. Number two, minor league baseball is coming to a close here. The Northwest Arkansas Naturals, the Royals' AA affiliate, their last game is September 14th. Not this upcoming Sunday, but next Sunday on the road against Frisco. So if the plan is to do a rehab assignment for him in Northwest Arkansas, you've only got 2 weeks to get that done. If it's Omaha, you've got 3 weeks. Their last regular season game is September 21st. But do you want to wait that long? I mean, is him having his second rehab assignment on September 18th going to do you any good?
Well, yeah, because even then the Royals' end of their season is 1 week beyond that
exactly.
as well. So I think it's just the fact of we are in September. You don't hear about guys going on these assignments unless the team expects them to be back and contribute in significant games, whether in the last week of the season or in the playoffs.
Well, you mentioned a little bit ago, and we've been mentioning it throughout the show, it is roster expansion day in Major League Baseball. 26-man active rosters up until the month of September, where they expand to 28. And the Royals have had some good ones in their roster expansions over the years. Hopefully, we've got two more. The first one, I don't think should surprise anybody. It's Jack Caglione, who already got the call up to the big show earlier this year. He really, really struggled. And, you know, they had the hamstring issue. So the Royals sent him down. He's been down in AAA for the better part of a month at this point, where he has continued to do what he did during his first stint in Omaha. And that is rake. He's been hitting the ball extremely well in AAA this year. He has now, I'm trying to take a look. Don't know why this is doing this to me. Regardless, he was fantastic in his limited ABs. He's hitting .357 in AAA so far this year, which is nuts. With 11 home runs, 29 RBIs, a .426 OBP, and an OPS of 1131. 1131 was his OPS. So no surprise to anybody to hear Jack Caglione get the call up. The one that I think probably surprised some people, surprised me, the hometown kid, Carter Jensen, has gotten the phone call to come back home and compete for the Kansas City Royals. Jensen, who was picked in the third round of the 2021 MLB draft at a Park Hill High School right here in the Metro, 22 years old. I think MLB.com had him as the 68th, 69th ranked prospect in baseball. He was the number two prospect in the Royals system. And he himself hitting the ball extremely well down in AAA this year. He started out the year in AA, where he hit the cover off the ball. He got the call up, and rightfully so. And in 43 games down in AAA, he hit .288 with a .404 on base percentage, an OPS of 1,051, 14 home runs, 39 RBIs. And outside the home runs, 14 home runs in 43 games is spectacular. This is very impressive to me. He drew 30 walks in 43 games. 30 and 43 games. The Royals AAA affiliate, their leader in walks this year, Nick Prado, with 41 in 100 games. So he has 11 less walks than Nick Prado in over 170 less at-bats. That's pretty extraordinary. Hence the reason why the on-base percentage is up over 400. The only guy with a better walk rate in AAA this year for the Royals, interestingly enough, Nick Lofton, who walked 39 times in 40 games. He had a .451 on-base percentage in Omaha. I can't say that I expected this move this soon. I don't mind it, if I'm being honest. Kind of weird to wrap your brain around the fact that the Royals will probably carry three catchers. because in what world, as talented as Carter Jensen may already be and may become, in what world do you throw out an unproven player in a position where he has to start and catch a full game when you're in the midst of a playoff chase? Now, is Luke Maley lighting the world on fire? No. But he's 34 years old, and he's been in the game for a long time. He's a veteran guy that you can kind of rely on if Salvi needs a day off, at least from the standpoint of being behind the dish. Is he your guy in the future? No. This move tells us what we all already know. Carter Jensen is going to be the backup catcher behind Salvi next year, without question. Does it mean Salvi is going to become a permanent DH and you let Carter Jensen be the everyday catcher? I don't know. But it's evident that he is the next guy, right? He is the heir apparent as of this moment. He's kind of fighting with Blake Mitchell, I think, for that title. But I think right now, everybody would kind of give the nod to Carter Jensen. You bring up Jack Caglione. And honestly, this call-up now, this is more curtailed to Jack Caglione than the initial call-up was. I know everybody was excited, and I know he played himself into a position to get the call, but I feel like that move at that point in the year, with that lineup you were trotting out every day, it put a lot on Jack Caglione's shoulders, whether that was purposely or not, right? When you're looking at, okay, we've got Mikel, we've got Bobby, we've got Vinny. At that point in the year, Salvi wasn't hitting the ball particularly well, right? You didn't have Mike Yastrzemski. Jonathan India was sort of ho-hum, which he has been the entirety of the year.
Bobby was cold at that point in the season as well.
Bobby wasn't hitting the ball extremely well. I just felt like at that point in the year, whether you meant to or not, and whether he let it get to him or not, you put a lot on him. I mean, that was what? What did he get the call up in June?
Yeah, it was probably June 3rd or 4th. It was early June. It was before that St. Louis series. I want to say the first week of June. And I think you're right that he did shoulder a lot of that pressure for the offense to turn things on, even if that... And I don't think it was. I think I'll take that stance. I don't think that was intended by the front office. But I think that's what Jack Caglione internalized. But that's what being a big leaguer is. And so we're bumping our heads back up against the same argument with Jack, which is he's clearly so much better than AAA. He's clearly too good for the league. He even came up to the big leagues, struggled, got hurt, like saw some real adversity. Goes back down to AAA, and there's a thought in my head when he starts the assignment that it's like, man, what if Jack's not the same guy he was before in AAA? What if, you know, you've seen big prospects that can't get over that mental hurdle. Now, Jack is too hard of a worker and too talented of a player, and he goes down and continues to mash maybe even, you know, more than he was last time. And it's clear that he's too good for AAA baseball. But yeah, the big leagues come with a certain mental aspect that the minor leagues don't, or at least it's to a much greater extent. And so I think you're right. That hampered him clearly in his first go around in the big leagues. We'll see. I can't imagine that he's just penciled in as an everyday player like he was earlier this season, considering the magnitude of some of these games coming up.
Yeah, I think we got a larger sample size from Jack Caglione in AAA, right? In May, when he got the call up to Omaha after he raked in Northwest Arkansas, in 11 games, he hit .326 with 6 home runs and 13 RBIs. Phenomenal. But is only in 13 games. That sample size really, really small. In the month of August in Omaha, in 16 games, he hit .385 with a .467 on base percentage and an OPS of 1,159. Now, he only hit 5 home runs, in 16 games, 16 RBIs. More impressively, 6 walks, only 11 strikeouts. That tells me that's a guy seeing the ball really well, because he wasn't seeing the ball extremely well when he was in Kansas City. And to go a step further and to kind of shoulder the argument some more about how much the Royals offense was struggling, May splits for this Royals team. Mikel Garcia had a phenomenal month, right? He hit .349. You had Vinny Pasquantino, who hit 330. I believe May was the month where he was the American League Player of the Month, right? Or Hitter of the Month. Was that May?
Vinny?
Yeah, Vinny.
I think it might have been. I think it's outside of April, he was on an absolute tear.
Yeah, it hit 330 that month. Kyle Isbell hit 317. Drew Waters hit 282. Bobby hit 243 in the month of May. Massey, in 24 games, hit 231. Salvi hit 202. They were coming off a month where they hit 265 as a team, but Bobby and Salvi, your big, you know, bell cows for the most part in this order over the last few seasons, really struggled. He gets the call in June. Royals hit 237 as a team. Freddie Fermin had the best batting average on this Royals club in the month of June. He hit 324 in 37 at bats. Vinny hit 296. Mikel, 296. Bobby had a better month, 286. But it just wasn't...
Well, more than that, I think this is the time in the calendar in which fans were so frustrated because the Royals could not get the timely hit and could not hit for power. So I think more so than just, you know, ineptitude and failure to get on base, it was a, this offense does not come through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I certainly see how a guy as young as Jack Caglione, as new to the big leagues as Jack Caglione, thought, you know, I need to wear some of this and I need to be the one to pick the team up. And we've noted there was multiple times, I think in his first week, at least in the first homestand there against the Yankees, there was a game in the bottom of the ninth in which he came up with a chance to tie it and just was taking the biggest hacks he's seen in your entire life. He was trying to hit the ball, you know, off the scoreboard when a base hit would have sufficed. Not a new story for a young guy that's new to the big leagues, but certainly I think played a part in his struggles the first time up here.
You look at, again, I'm just kind of getting into the weeds of the splits, and I look at walks and strikeouts as an indicator of a guy who's seeing the baseball well. In that May stretch where he was in AAA, limited, you know, only 11 games, he walked 5 times, he struck out 8 times. In 150 at-bats, 41 games with the Royals, he walked 8 times, struck out 34 times. Now, in August in AAA, it's 7 walks to 11 strikeouts. So, again, that tells me from 5 walks to 8 strikeouts, from 8 walks to 34 strikeouts, to now 7 walks to 11 strikeouts, that number is closing. That number's getting better. That's a guy that's seeing the ball a little bit better. And a guy in Jack Caglione, who I think, and the numbers back this up, the splits back this up, he's not reaching anymore, right? That's his swing and miss percentage on balls outside the strike zone was alarming in his call up to the major leagues. And it got better, honestly, from where he was at in AA at the beginning of the year towards the end of his tenure with the Royals. And some of it was just, you know, unlucky, untimely hitting. I think he's in a better spot now than he was when he initially got called up. And this Royals team is a better spot than it was. He can sort of be platooned a little bit more as a rookie versus being thrown in right field every day because you have other guys. You have Yaz now. You have Adam Frazier who can do the job. And I think that takes a great deal of pressure off of him in this situation and gets you set up for next year. What it means for Carter Jensen, I think, is probably a little bit more ambiguous than even it is for Jack Caglione. Because we've never seen him here, right? Carrying 3 catchers on a major league roster, really hard to find a place to inject yourself into this lineup, especially when your starting catcher is Salvador Perez, who is a Hall of Famer in Major League Baseball, and if you say otherwise, argue with a wall. Maley is not, he's not going to wow you, but he's a veteran serviceable catcher. Now, the splits necessarily aren't strong. In the month of August, Maley hit 125. Salvi hit 186. So Salvi just had his best month of the year in July, and then turns around and has his worst month of the year in August. Not exactly ideal. Maybe that means we'll see a little bit more of Carter Jensen. I'm not quite sure. I think that the Carter Jensen move feels a little bit more like he's obviously earned the right at this point with the way he played in AAA. But it's more about giving him some opportunities here or there, giving him the feel of a big league clubhouse and a big league game and meaningful baseball in the month of September to get you ready to use him next year, because he's very evidently a part of the future core of this Royals team, which has, thankfully, and I think Royals fans haven't talked nearly enough about it, that's expanded a little bit, right? I mean, coming into the year, it was Bobby and the hope of Jack Caglione. Now you're looking at Mikel Garcia having a career year. He was an all-star. He's been fantastic, hitting nearly 300. He's become a big part of the future core of this Royals team. Vinny Pasquantino has emerged, and I'm not being, you know, I don't feel like I'm speaking out of turn in saying this. Vinny Pasquantino has now emerged as a top five first baseman in the American League.
And he stayed healthy.
And he stayed healthy, which is massive. It's the first time really he's been able to do that since he became the everyday first baseman. Carter Jensen has just continued to mow down every expectation that was put in front of him. He's thrown himself into the thick of this core. Noah Cameron has now put himself into that conversation. Cole Reagans, who I think was already a part of that, is, you know, he's maybe sort of thrown himself out because of the injury issues. And Chris Bubich played himself into it, and then very quickly the injury threw him back out of it. This Royals core and what it could be is so much deeper and more talented than I think any of us thought going into the year. But let's not go looking ahead just yet, right? Let's not say, hey, look at what 26 and 27 look like, because this is a Royals team that can still make the playoffs in 2025, and we should not be looking beyond that as of this moment. We'll see what happens over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be an interesting offseason of both financial considerations with Garcia and Vinny Pasquantino. Also, trade conversations. Mm-hmm. As you talked about, we have too many starters on this roster. I mean, can you ever? But I think they do. But first, it's this interesting utilization question that is posed with Maley and Jensen. And if you come to the same conclusion, which I think you and I have, of Maley stays, then it begs another interesting question of who's going down when these moves go through and process later this afternoon.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on the other side, because yes, Carter Jensen and Jack Caglione were the biggest news of the roster expansion, but they weren't the only ones. There were actually three minor leaguers that got the call up to Kansas City, meaning the Royals have one too many on that expanded 28-man roster. We'll talk about that next here on Fesco and Dusty. Logan Weber and Nathan Williams filling in for the guys here this morning on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Just looking into the numbers with Carter Jensen, I mean, the numbers suggest to you that he is a really solid all-around baseball player. In, you know, five seasons of minor league baseball, since he was drafted back in 2021 in the third round, he was just 17 years old when he was drafted. And when he started his minor league career in rookie ball, he is a career 250 hitter. But you look at how he's improved in every place he's been. He hit .281 in rookie ball in only 19 games. He hit .226 in high A, or in low A. In high A, he hit .237. He hit .271 in double A. And in 43 games in Omaha in triple A, he hit .288. His career on base percentage is a .364. The walks that he generates has been consistent at every level he has been, including drawing 92 walks in 2023 with the Quad Cities River Bandits. He only hit .211 that year, but he still had a .356 on base percentage. Also, his power numbers have improved gradually over the course of this. He had 11 home runs in 2022. Again, 11 in 2023. He hit 18 last year between high A and double A. This year, he's hit 20. In 111 games, he's hit 20 home runs, 76 RBIs. On top of that, while he's not a burner by any means, he does have some base stealing ability. He's got 50 stolen bases across five seasons of minor league baseball. He's been caught stealing 11 times, and six of those were in low A in 2022 playing for Columbia. He's got 10 total stolen bases this year between double A and triple A. He's only been caught stealing once. On top of that, his fielding is decent. His range factor is at a 10.2 when I believe, you know, it's the amount of putouts and assists that you have per innings played. So he's generating over 10. His fielding percentage this year is a 99.1, which is the best of his career thus far behind the dish. His caught stealing percentage is 24%. He's thrown out 18 batters or 18 runners and given up 56 stolen bases. He's kind of an all-around good baseball player. He's got great pop, obviously, out of the catching position. He's an interesting guy in that sense because he's a left-handed hitting catcher, which is fascinating, right? I mean, obviously, right-handed thrower, but hits left-handed. I think it's a great fit. And then quickly, the other move that the Royals made, Leunder Avila is now back in Kansas City. He was the third guy to get called up in this expanded roster move from 26 to 28. He has not wowed this year. Between high A, where he started the year, and triple A, he has a combined 5.01 ERA. In triple A, he's got a 5.4 ERA. He is 2-3 across 14 games pitched, 9 starts. He's pitched in one game for the Royals. He threw a scoreless inning, including one strikeout, gave up no hits, no walks. But it raises the question, okay, who's the odd man out then? Because you're at 29 at the moment. And for me, I have to imagine that it is one of those fringe position players. Lofton or... I mean, Massey's been good since he came back, so maybe not Massey, but Tolbert. But you like Tolbert on the roster because of the speed that he gives you, right? It's sort of a, maybe not quite to the Jerrod Dyson extent, but like a Terrence Gore kind of a situation because he's such a speedster on the base paths. Do you send down Luke Maley because you don't want to carry three catchers? Or do you send down a pitcher? And if that's the case, who? Right? It's not going to be Burgert. It's not going to be, you know, Noah Cameron or Ursig or Estevez or Laurent. It's not going to be any of the starting pitchers, obviously. Who would be the pitcher that you would presumably send down for the corresponding move for Avila?
Yeah, I think pitchers are out of the conversation.
I would agree.
Before today, teams can carry up to 13 pitchers on the roster. Starting today, they can carry 14, and the Royals were at 13, and now they're at 14. I think the intent there is clearly not just to, you know, it's not like a, hey, Lewinder Avila's banging the door down to get back to the big leagues, right. Although he was really good against the Nationals in that one outing. It is, hey, we need innings from wherever we can get them.
Yeah, a lot of injury concerns there.
So I think it's a position player, and offensively, of course, Maley makes the most sense, but I think you're right. I can't see, unless Salvador Perez is your everyday catcher behind the plate, which we've seen what that does to his offensive production, and I can't imagine that's the plan, then I don't really want Carter Jensen learning all of these guys that he didn't come up with, like Seth Lugo, Michael Walker, Ryan Burgert, guys he's never caught before in meaningful games. So I don't think it's Luke Maley. I think Tyler Tolbert's speed keeps him on the roster. So I think, unfortunately, the answer is Nick Lofton.
I would agree.
I think most commonly you see him at first base or in left field, both positions that Jack Caglione adds to your roster as well. He can play those defensively as well. Maybe not at a super high level yet, especially in the outfield, but I'm not concerned about the other positions that Lofton can cover around the infield, as you have guys like Adam Frazier or Michael Massey that can cover those spots as well. So I think Lofton's the answer, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've run extremely long here, and that's all right, but I look at just the splits from August, and I can't find a relief pitcher that you could wrap your head around sending down right now. If you look at the Royals' top six guys in ERA, as in they had the highest ERA in the month of August for Kansas City, you had Thomas Hatch, who pitched in one game and then was very quickly gone after that. And now I think he's with the Twins, I think. Outside of him, your next five guys with the highest ERA, Bailey Falter, starting pitcher, who just is going to be sent back down, Seth Lugo, Michael Lorenzen, Noah Cameron, Michael Wacha. So your five most consistent starting pitchers, your rotation in the month of August had the highest ERA. I look at Estevez had a 2.84. Ursig had a 3.48 ERA. That was the highest ERA for a Royals relief pitcher. Lynch had a 3.45. Sam Long had a 2.84. Schreiber, a 2.38. Serpa had a 2.25. Taylor Clark had a 1.29 ERA. You can't justify sending down one of those guys who just had a really good month of August. So I'm with you. I think that I think it has to be Nick Lofton, because right now you've got he and Michael Massey both on this club, both filling that sort of role of the positionless utility guy, which, frankly, Adam Frazier and Jonathan India are sort of utility type guys too. Somebody has to be the odd man out. And I think for a guy who hit 135 in the month of August and is hitting 196 on the year at age 26, seems to be the guy that you would send down in that situation, because you bring in Jack Caglione, who is another guy, is an outfielder who can do that. I don't see a real reason for Nick Lofton to stick around at this point. We've stuck around way too long this hour, so we're going to take a break. 913-586-7965 is our number. We'll continue to talk Chiefs. We'll continue to talk Royals. But I want to discuss some college football here when we come back. Logan Weber alongside Nathan Williams filling in for Fesco, Dusty, and Mac this morning on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale, happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.